Welcome to another life-changing message preached live at Hope City Church. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired by God's word to live your best life yet. So get ready to hear from God as you enjoy the message.
Amen. Turn and, well, you've given high fives. You may as well just sit down. We've done high fives today already. Probably done it twice. How you doing? Good, good to see you. Good. Dan was good, wasn't he? Dan Ray. Quiet, unassuming. Give him a microphone. He's up and down the stage like a, I don't know, like Lee Evans or something. Amazing. Good stuff. Really good. So my name's David, and along with Lisa, who's been, you've already seen up here, we are lead pastors here at Hope City in Liverpool, because that's where we are. We love Liverpool, don't we? Don't we? Yes, I love it. Lived here for a month, and I'm enjoying it so far. But yesterday was cool. We were all the pastoral kind of leadership connect leaders of Hope City Church, both here and in our UK locations, gathered together in Sheffield, which is where Hope City Church started. We were in Leeds. What? We didn't start there. Do you know what? All the way through last week, right? Okay, they had to keep telling me, we're going to Leeds. We're going to Leeds. I thought, we're going to Leeds. Okay, yeah. Can someone look after Emma in Sheffield for us? I know we're going to Leeds. Even today, I've been, come back, and I still think I was in Sheffield. That's incredible. But we were in Leeds, gathered together, all the pastoral guys, for a, it was a day of like pastoral training with a vicar. With a actual real vicar, yes, and just a fantastic day, just learning. We thought we were going to go and learn about, you know, how to go and be good pastors, go and how to care for people, but it seemed to be that we went and just learned about ourselves and our insecurities and this, that, and the other, and how we needed to kind of get hold of God's love for our lives so that we were able to minister effectively to people. And that's what God does, and you think, oh, this is going to be about people, and this is going to be, like today, right, you're thinking this. You'll be listening and saying, oh, this will be a good message for so-and-so, right? But actually, God wants to speak into our lives today. And that's part of what, you know, being together is about. What I loved about yesterday was that it was just folks that I'd done life with, I'd done the journey with, and new folks around Liverpool that we're getting to know. And just spending time together, I absolutely loved. It kind of cancelled out the fact that it was taking up my Saturday, you know, you think, oh, I'm going to go to like a one-day conference on a Saturday. You think, oh, no. But actually, when we get there and we're gathered together and we're sharing the laughs and we're sharing the banter and sharing time together, I'm like, I love this. This is a good day. This is good times together. And I think, gosh, in the periods of my life where I feel like I'm on my own, they're the hardest times. They're the darkest times. And sometimes I need some space, right? Sometimes I need a little bit of my own time. But I find if I have too much of my own time, then it starts to go into like negative. You think, oh, this is doing me good. A little bit of me time. Too much me time does you no good. And so I've realized that there is something so key about being together, about doing life together, that we're not meant to just do this life on our own. We're not even meant to just come into church on a Sunday, have a great worship time, hear a few words and say, oh, well, it's gonna see me through. Because if we're not connecting with people in the week, I'm like, well, it's not working out. And two, I think we're missing out the primary way that God wants to work stuff out in our lives. This is good what you're hearing. You hear some good stuff, but it's going to be worked out amongst people. And you're going to hear God through people and through situations. You need people who know you, who can speak into your life. I think it was true what Lisa was saying about connect groups and saying, hey, this is a chance to get to know people and people to get to know you. And half of us probably are like, oh, I don't know. Do I? Well, some of us are like, do I want to get to know any of these people? I don't know. I've met a few of them over coffee and I don't know. Don't want to spend more time. But then the other half of us are like, oh, I don't know if I want anybody to get to know me. You know, I mean, it's got to take the defensive down, you know, stop just doing the smile, you know. Oh, no. But actually, God wants to do some stuff. He wants to open up our lives, open up our hearts, and let people in and let him in into our hearts. It says this in, this is from the first letter of Peter. And Peter was one of Jesus' 12 disciples who hung and knew him. And as I said last time that I spoke, Peter was also the disciple of Jesus who denied that he ever knew Jesus. I mean, that's quite an incredible thought, that Peter, who hung with Jesus, knew Jesus, hung around with Jesus, saw all the miracles, denied within earshot of Jesus that he ever knew him when it came to the pressure moment. And that's incredible. He wrote this. So I like to read the Bible thinking about who wrote this. What was their life? Because you'll get an extra level of meaning from it. And Peter says in chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, he says, as you come to him, as you come to God, as you come to Jesus, a living stone rejected by men. I'm like, oh, you can read that as, yes, Jesus was rejected by people. This is Peter who actually did reject Jesus. So he knows, he's talking from his heart, from his life. He says, as you come to Jesus, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, say me, myself, say we ourselves, you yourselves are like living stones being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I think that's incredible. Jesus understands rejection. Jesus understands what it means to be rejected. Most of us fear rejection because either we've been rejected or we just think, well, I've got to fit in. I want acceptance. And a lot of the time there's like software going on in the back of our heads that's adjusting our behavior and our speech and our ways and our lives in so many ways in order to avoid being rejected. I think that's maybe true of me sometimes. I guess maybe it's true of you that so often there's a little bit of software running in the back of our heads that's just checking what we're saying, checking you know what we're wearing, you know, checking what we're doing in order to make sure that we don't end up being rejected and that we fit in properly and nicely with everyone, because we don't want to be rejected, do we? You know, don't say this, don't say that. Don't do that. There was an interesting point that was made yesterday in this pastoral seminar, that sometimes the closer you get to people, actually the more inane your comments become and the less real they become. When you might be thinking back here, say as a pastor, you're thinking, gosh, I need to talk to this person about this thing. I need to kind of be real. But by the time you get in front of them, you just go, oh, it's really nice to see you. Oh, this is lovely, isn't it? You know, sometimes in our relationship, We've got stuff that we need to sort out and things that we need to deal with, but we don't want to really face it. We don't want to, you know, get in there and cause any friction. So by the time we get to actually being in front of people, we're like, oh, it's just all really nice. Nice to see you. Let's have a hug. God, I'll see you again. Goodbye. And we're not dealt with anything because we don't want to be rejected, and we don't want to be upset or upset somebody else. And I'm, gosh, God, you actually want us to gain and have deeper relationships with people. I think it's a key to our growth. It's a key to our growth. I need people around my life who know me, who can maybe speak into my life rather than me just stay the way I am. God has more for us in our lives. He wants you to grow. He wants you to move through insecurities and just become more whole, more rounded, more happy, more peaceful. I think back to some of my history, and I got a great mom. How many of you got a great mom? You got a great mom? Moms are good, right? When they're good. When they're good, they're good. But I've never known my biological father. He's never really wanted to have something to do with me. the guy who was my adoptive dad growing up, he left home. When I was a little bit older, right, I was still living at home, but he left home. And my sister left. She was a little bit younger than me, and he left home. And I'm like, well, gosh, it's not like I've had the worst, right? But I've had a little bit of something that where there's some rejection. And I think, gosh, most of us, you know, have some area in our lives where, gosh, we felt a little bit rejected, and it impacts on how we behave and how we act. I remember for myself growing up in my home, there was a whole lot of just arguments. My mom and dad argued like so much. And I remember talking to my friends saying, how often do your parents have an argument? And they go, oh yeah, like once a month. I guess they were thinking, you know, bigger ones. Once a month. And I'm like, all right, thinking, oh gosh, my household might be a little bit unusual compared to the norm because they're always arguing. And I would therefore, in my relationships with my friends, if any of my friends were like falling out, I just want, can't we all be friends? You know, I was always the one kind of having to pick a side. My friends are falling out. I just want us to be friends, you know, and you kind of impact and influenced by stuff so much. And we can be impacted and influenced by rejection and stuff in our own lives that's now playing out, you know, in the way that we behave and interact with other people. But God actually wants us to be totally free from that stuff and open up our lives. And even our connect groups, they can feel like, well, this is scary. Or they become just this little group where, well, we'll just do a Bible study and we'll have a cup of tea and then I'll get out of here. And it never gets deeper. But God wants us to have some good and deep and open friendship together so that he can get in. You know, it's not about letting the amateur psychologist in the group get in and analyze your life. God wants you to have real friendships, open friendships, chill out together, and that we can share life that God then can speak right in to the heart of our lives. I think you will become a more whole and rounded person if you are involved in the connect groups. I think it's true. Because it's how God works. And I love this, right? That it says that Jesus was rejected by men, but he was chosen and precious in the sight of God. And then it says, and we ourselves also are living stones in what God is building. I love this, that you may have suffered some rejection. You know, most likely in some way we have. There's an awful lot of brokenness, broken families, broken marriages, broken promises that touch our lives. But I love this, that Jesus was rejected but chosen and precious. And sometimes in church we talk about God choosing us. And we feel like it's like, you know, when you were at school and everyone got picked for the football team and then you're the last one. I was the last one. Sorry. I know it's emotional, isn't it, today? I think, oh, poor Dave. There he was, little Dave in his shorts. Oh, like, come on, pick me. No. Okay. And you feel like maybe that's what God's like when he's choosing. It's like he chooses you because you're the last one there and he just has to choose you. You know, he's like, oh, yeah, God's chosen me, but it's only because, well, I'm here, aren't I? So may as well. Come on, join the team then. Come on. Yeah, go in defense. No one wants defense. You go in defense. Oh, it's quite good. I was kind of good at getting in the way in football. No skill. Just run at them. No, missed the ball. So, but we feel like God's like that, that he's chosen us because he feels sorry for us, because he has to. But it's not, it says chosen in God's eye. No matter what you are in your own eyes, no matter what you've been in other people's eyes, in God's sight, you are chosen and precious. I love that. You are chosen and precious. It's like first choice. We're all God's first choice. I don't know how he can do that. He just does. He says, yes, you. And it includes you. And it doesn't devalue you and say, well, because I value everyone, there's no value. It's like, no, you are precious to God. That's why he chooses you. Not because he feels sorry for you or because you've been rejected. Oh, you were rejected. Oh, come on then. I'll accept you. He's just like, it doesn't matter what you are in anyone else's eyes. In God's eyes, you are precious. And if that can just get into your heart, maybe that will just open you up. Maybe that will make you go, do you know what? Maybe I do need to put myself around some people. Because no matter what I think they're thinking about me, God says I am precious. So I can overcome all that stuff going off in my head. Saying, who are you? You're of no value. No one's going to like you. You've got nothing to say. No one's going to get you. Just you've got to think, God, you know, you see me as precious. It's time for our eyesight about ourselves to change and be transformed. But we're chosen and not just for a cuddle with Jesus, but for being built together. You say, I'm not choosing you to go, well, just come and hang with me. And you need to hang with Jesus, you know, in your life. He's going to say, but don't just come and hang with me. I'm going to put you together. It's part of his purpose is to put you together with people to build something. What I want to see us do here is that we build together somewhere where people, maybe you have been rejected. You know, people of all kinds of walks of life and histories can come together and come amongst us and find, well, gosh, this is a place where I find acceptance and I find love and I find healing. And so if we're going to build that, we've got to step into that and allow God to do that with our lives and put us together so that even in our connect groups, there's an incredible family atmosphere and feel where it's like, these guys, you know, they're not sitting around just saying, here's all my sin from this week. Right? I know there's places you can go, right? And churches are around that maybe do that, right? Where it's, you get the groups and it's all about, I'm going to tell you how bad I've been this week. Let me get off my chest. How sinful I have been this week. We don't want to do that, right? It's not, Connect is not the place where everyone just comes and tells you how bad they've been this week. And we all go, oh, well, let's pray for you. Maybe next week you'll not sin. But actually building family together where you can feel relaxed and where you'll find someone, and maybe not even everyone in the group, where you find someone and go, gosh, I found a connection. I can talk to you. Oh, thank God I can talk to you and tell you about this. You know, because when we're all saying how great this is and great that is, I'm just feeling rubbish. You know, I don't feel like failing, you know, and you need someone. You need someone around your life that you can talk to. But God's putting us together to build what he wants as living stones, a spiritual house. For people to come and find God. That's what the temple was in the Old Testament. In the before Jesus times, all right, a bit of a history lesson. In the before Jesus times, the people of Israel had the temple, right? Had the temple, it was a stone building, a place where people would come to find God and meet with God. And I just want to pull out a few things from Psalm 84 that's talking about, it was written by the people of Israel when they were in exile, away from the temple. Like, I want to get back to the temple, to the place where God is, to a place where we can meet with God. And there's some things I think we can pull out from that and apply to the temple that God's building now. Because God's building a temple made not of stone, but of people's lives, right? No longer going to a temple, a building, and saying, hey, I can meet with God there. But to actually meet with God amongst people and with people. So this does not here today represent the temple. It's not been replaced. The Old Testament temple, let's all go up together and meet with God and do the sacrifice, do that, has not been replaced by here. This is good. I think more so, right? The Old Testament temple, let's go up to the stone building and meet with God. It's been replaced by our relationships and even maybe is more represented by connect groups than by here. Because in the connect groups, it's like, here's the living stones where I can meet with God in relationship with these people. Because in the Old Testament, people in a crowd went up to the temple So it's not going to be replaced by people in a crowd coming into a theater. It's going to be replaced by people being built together into something, into community, whereby people can come in and in amongst community they meet with God. Not just in coming and going, I'm singing songs and I'm hearing a preach, but actually I'm living out something. Because God is about building a community of people together, not about creating just another service somewhere or a church meeting. He wants to create community. Because God is community. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, since before the dawn of time, lived in community. He says, I want to make man in our image. So he creates family and he creates community. He doesn't create a church service. So I think it's so important. Connects are not an addition. They're part of the outworking of being the temple of God, where people can come and find Him. Amen. So you're of great value to God in being part of building a house for people to come and discover real life and freedom through knowing Jesus. You're part of it. You're called to it. And I'll give you some things from Psalm 84 in the next 10 minutes. Is that okay? Cool. Okay, so if you've got your Bible, Psalm 84 is the place where we are. And it will come up on the screen if you haven't got a Bible with you, and it's here. There it is in front of me. This is good. So Psalm 84 starts with these first two verses. It says, how lovely. Just turn to the person next to you and say, how lovely. How lovely. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. The first thing I want to tell you about the house of God, about the temple of God, about what he's building with us in community is that it's somewhere that we should love to be. It's a lovely place. Me and Lisa, over the last month or so, last couple of months, we were looking for somewhere to live in Liverpool. And we're going around and you see, well, here's my budget. Don't you? Here's what my budget is. Let's go on Rightmove. I love my iPhone. It's like you can go and I can look at houses and I can look at things way above my budget. Don't know if you ever do that. But then I have to kind of pull back a bit because then I start to like get jealous and I feel like, God, I want. Oh, and I go, no, stop all this covetousness. And pull back and look within my means. And you look and go, okay, here's what we can look at. And we went, I started looking, I think, I looked at a few on my own to start with and looked at a few with Lisa. And we're looking around the house and you go in the house and I think within 30 seconds, I know whether I want to live there or not. You go in and you go, well, no, you kind of try and force yourself. You think it's in my budget. Oh, could I live it? And you go, no, because it's not how lovely, is it? How tatty. How tatty is this dwelling place? Oh, Lord. And I went to look around at one house, and I thought, I'll go and look at this house. And my appointment was something like 11 o'clock, but because I was traveling over from Lancashire, it was about 11:15 when I got there. And so I walk in and it was like, how lovely is this dwelling place? And I'm like, Lisa needs to see this. She's not here. She needs to see this. What do we do? And as I'm looking around, I'm going, yes, this is nice. This is nice. And the people who were living there were still there and they were lovely. They were lovely. How lovely is your dwelling place? Oh, Spanish people. And so by the time then I got upstairs, I'm thinking, this is definitely it. And then I see the estate agent on their phone, and my heart began to sink. And they're like, I'm sorry, the house has gone. The house has gone. I was like, yes, very. And I was like, oh, no. And the first person who saw the house just went straight to the office, signed the things, gave them some money, said, we'll have it. Thank you very much. And I was like, oh, no. So what we then did, I was on Rightmove. I'm like, looking for the house. Where is this lovely dwelling place? Lovely. There it is. And as soon as one came up that had not been on, it just, bang, there it is. I'm like ringing them up. I'm saying, hello, I'd like to make an appointment to see that house. Oh, you can't till Tuesday. Tuesday, really? Well, you're not going to let somebody else in there first, are you? You're going to keep that. That's me. I'm going to be first. Right. Okay. Get there first. Made sure I was on time. took Lisa. We're looking around. How lovely is this dwelling place? Oh, Lord. Yes, we'll take it. We'll ring it up. We'll get in the car, ring them up. Can we take the house? Yes, here's the money. Here's my credit card details. Thank you. Friends. Howard, yes! Because God wants, you know, the church and the place that God's building, it should satisfy some needs. You know, my house satisfies a few needs. It doesn't satisfy, though, every need. But I'm like, God wants to satisfy your needs so that, you know, you think, God, how lovely God is your dwelling place. How lovely are these relationships. How lovely. God wants to satisfy the needs of your soul. Your soul longs for meaningful connection with people. My soul longs to be in your house, God. Not because it looks nice. My soul longs actually to be in your house, having meaningful relationship. People want meaningful connection. It's why they blab on the internet. I don't know if you got Facebook. How many of you got Facebook? How many of you go on Facebook sometimes and you're scrolling through the news feed and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they put that on there. You know, you're like, oh, you know, someone's just given you the darkest details of their lives. And yet if you met them in person, they wouldn't dare say it. They wouldn't tell you. Twitter, they're telling everybody about that incident that's just occurred. They'd never say anything if you saw them. You saw them be like, oh yeah, everything's fine. On Twitter though, because people long for meaningful connection, and yet there's something that holds us back from actually having the real meaningful connection. So there's this thing of called Facebook and the internet where we kind of just, sometimes we blab it and we stick it out there. Our soul longs for meaningful connection. There's a level to Sunday connection, right? There's a level. You can stick around for tea and coffee afterwards, and that'll be awesome. And you might have some meaningful conversation, right? But not very, you know? Unless you talk to Gary, right? Gary, it's always meaningful with Gary. Always. I always come away encouraged and uplifted and... No, actually, I do. I do, Gary. That sounded sarcastic. No, I do. But it's in community, it's in relationship, it's in friendship, it's in our connection where something deeper can happen, something deeper than a Sunday. You know, sometimes you might say, I don't really know anyone, or I don't know, I didn't talk to many people today. Maybe today, right, you feel, oh, gosh, I think so-and-so blanked me. I know someone didn't speak to me today. And we try to be really welcoming. It's frustrating when you try to be really welcoming and still somebody will go, they're not very welcoming. Oh, we're trying. We're really trying. But if you put yourself around people, if you put yourself into connect, if you open the door, you can never say, well, no one spoke to me. You can never say, well, I've got no one to talk to. You can never do that. You know, you can walk out of here having hardly spoken to anyone, but you can't walk out of a connect unless you really work hard at it. You can't walk out of a connect without talking to no one, you know, without talking to anyone. You go into the connect and then just avoid all people. I mean, you know, it would be quite a significant achievement, you know, just behind the table. Cake. Cake. Hats. Don't. No one spoke to me. Gosh. Feel so rejected. But the community that God's building is somewhere where anyone can be at home. Anyone can be at home. In verse 3, the author's saying, you know, he's saying, even the sparrow finds a home. And the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altar, O Lord of hosts. Even the sparrow, the guy's written this, he's looking from afar, he's in exile, he's thinking, God, he's just envious of the sparrow. Even the sparrow, even the birds find, even, gosh, and sometimes we could be, well, we shouldn't be, right, jealous of people. We think, gosh, you seem like you're a part of the in crowd. You seem like you've got, how come you've got some friends here? How come, you know, you don't need to be jealous. I think our connects and our community provides an opportunity for everybody to find a place. everybody to find a home. Maybe for some of our lives, we need to stop flapping about, right? If I take the bird analogy, stop flapping about and make a nest, you know, amongst people. There's an opportunity for every single person in this room, because that's what we want to do. That's why Lee's saying, hey, sign up at the end, right? So that we can do the best we can possibly do to make sure that everybody who wants to has an opportunity to be part of family and community, you know? I'm going on about Connect, but I'm like, well, this is how we're doing it. This is how we're doing it. This is how we're doing it as a church. You're all welcome. There are no cliques. I say there's no cliques, right? But sometimes there are cliques. How many say cliques? How many say cliques? Vote for cliques. Thank you. Good. And sometimes we look and we think, oh, well, they must be cliques. I'm like, well, maybe they just know each other well. And we've got to sort of take the opportunities that are there to connect with folks. But we don't want there to be cliques. I'm like, no. You found your friends, you found your gang. Well, let's open it up to someone else. Open it up to someone else. Look out beyond yourself. I like this. Psalm 68, verse 6 says, I'll just read the first part of it. It just says, God settles the solitary in a home. You know, if you want to find peace, you want to find some settling. I like going home. Even though we've only had this house a few weeks, I like going home. I'm driving home after a busy day. You know, driving home, I think, I go home, and I feel settled. I'm like, I can feel at peace. I can just leave some of the stress. I can be at peace. God settles the solitary in a home. God wants to put you in a home. I don't know if that's a word for someone out there. Okay, I'm running out of time. But the house of God, the community of God, what God wants to build is somewhere you find strength for the journey. Verse 5 and 6, blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, which means the valley of weeping, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. I think it can be quite hard, it seems, to stick at it in life. It can be quite hard to remain committed in life. It can be quite hard to see things through in life. I don't know if you find that. I found that at different times. It can be quite hard to stick through in a job. It can be quite hard to stick through in a situation, to make it through to the other side without falling apart. It can be hard to stay in a relationship in a marriage. Or sometimes it's hard to stay just to keep going with life. Maybe we have quit. Maybe it's people here who've quit. Say it was hard. Sometimes, let me add this, sometimes it's right to quit because you're in a situation that is destructive and destroying you. And sometimes we've had people quit on us. Our culture's full of short-term commitments. If you see a celebrity getting married, you're thinking, well, how long till the divorce? You know? How long is this going to last? Not to be hard on Facebook again, but, you know, it's the whole click status. I'm in a relationship. Click, I'm out of a relationship. Kind of seems to be built into our thought and our culture that it's actually hard to be committed, hard to stick things through, hard to see everything through. I think, gosh, I need strength. Don't know how many of you today think, gosh, I need some strength for what I'm going through. And I can get with God and be on my own and have a great prayer time, and I receive some strength, I receive encouragement from the Word. You'd let me say, oh, you need that because you're born for a relationship with God. But I'm like, gosh, God's not made me just to have some relationship off here on my own with Him. He says, you know what, you need friends. I need friends. My best friends are those I've been through some stuff with. I bet your best friends are those that you've been through some things with. I've been through some stuff. Maybe it's my stuff and I need to go through. They need, God, thank you. You help me through. Maybe it's their stuff. I'm going through it. Maybe it's somebody else's stuff and we're just going through things together. And sometimes this is one of the beautiful things about church. That often I find it's people that I wouldn't ordinarily have gone through life with. It's not people who I would have ordinarily said, hey, you're going to be my friend. That I find that I build some incredible connections with. That add real color and value to my life. Even yesterday as we were meeting in Leeds, I remember. And seeing some of the guys that were over from the church in Lancashire that me and Lisa used to lead. I'm like, gosh, some of these people, we are so close now. And yet, we would never have chosen to be friends. We're different ages, we're different backgrounds. We didn't like each other to start with. Seriously. I'm like, there's one person who's coming and saying, you know, almost slight tears in her eyes of, you know, saying, oh, you know, I miss this, or I miss you, and I miss this, da, da, da. And like, I was thinking, you didn't like me at all. You didn't like me at all when we first met. I'm like, God, what? But what color has been added to my life? Because we worked through and went through some stuff. Brings healing. I can't remember where the scripture is, but it's iron sharpens iron. You know, and there's something about that God does with people that we think, well, I don't know if I want to do life with you. But God throws us together. For a good purpose. The Valley of Baca is a place of weeping. It says it becomes a place of springs, a place of, you know, there's tears sometimes on the journey. But he says you go from strength to strength. I think we go from strength to strength when we do this together. It says they'll all appear before God in Zion. They all get to the end of the journey. You are destined to get to the end of the journey, but you're not meant to do it on your own. You're on a pilgrimage together, a journey of life together. You're meant to be together with people. Somewhere for new relationships with a new purpose. I'll just read these out basically, and then we'll pray. Verse 10, it says, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. And for us, it's not, well, I'd just rather have one day in church, you know, because I sing my favorite songs. I'd rather have one day in church and one day in church service is better. I'd rather be a doorkeeper, rather be on the hosting team. Sometimes we use that verse for like, hey, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Why don't you join the hosting team? You know, it's not about that. I'd rather spend one day with the people of God. I'd rather have better is just to be with these guys. Better is to be with you than to maybe be for some of us with who I've been hanging out with because it's just screwing me up and it's not leading me anywhere. Actually, better is one day with you guys than dwelling in these tents over here. Better is one day, let's put it this way, one day with these guys in the body of Christ and in church and in who we're building together with. Better is there than just being over here on my own, dwelling in the tents of just the stuff that's going off in my head. Because I find that if I'm on my own and my own head doesn't last very long in a good place. Don't know about you.
It's being honest.
My head on my own doesn't last very long. You know, I can sit and confess all the scriptures and read the Bible, confess the Bible, put it on the wall, Instagram the Bible. But if I'm on my own, it doesn't take very long before my head is like, it's the tent of wickedness. You know, it's gone all wrong. And why am I thinking that? About that? Or about me? Or about them? Why is my head? Better is one day in the courts of God, which is amongst the people of God, building some real relationships, getting to know God together, building something together, moving forward together. Better is one day than 1,000 spending my time in my own head trying to figure it all out. You're made for relationship with God, and you're made for relationship with the body of Christ. How God works out so much in our lives. Real last one now. Because I don't want to miss it. I'm like, I could miss that out. I don't want to miss it out. It says this. Verse 11, for the Lord God is sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing. Your walking uprightly is not yourself. It's what Jesus has done for you. Let me just add that. Okay? No good thing does he withhold. God doesn't withhold any good thing. He has no intention of withholding what you need. I was talking to Lisa earlier. I said, you know what? I don't know how many thousands of pounds over the years has come into our lives in times of need, not just through working and because we've worked and we've sown and we've given, and but as gosh, God, you've sown into our lives thousands of pounds over the years. I didn't know how to count, and we've given money and clothes, food, somewhere to live, and holidays even, and help, and prayer, and support. I've been given so much. But I realize most of that is through people who know us, people who we're living in relationship with, people who are doing life together with. I haven't just prayed off in a corner and the miracle tree has grown and provided me with food and money and clothing and holidays or whatever. You know, I'm like, gosh, well, it's not just out here somewhere. It's built in community. Sometimes you're praying off and thinking, God, why don't you bless me? Why don't you give? Why don't I have this? Why don't you give to me? And I'm not talking about just having some material kind of growth. I'm just talking about stuff, the needs of life and all that kind of thing. I'm like, it's not just praying off in a corner and thinking, well, I went to church on Sunday and I'll go to church next Sunday or where is it or what is it? It's like maybe God's just saying, well, why don't you just go and get to know some people? In a new way. Why don't you need some new friends, right? Some of you have been hanging out with the same people in church for years, right? Time for some new friends. Time for some new friends. I don't mean sack off your old friends, right? I mean just dump them. Have some new ones. Maybe it's getting a bit stale. Maybe you need to introduce someone else to the group, right? Why don't we just need to have an honest chat with your mates? Say, this is getting a bit dull now, isn't it? Let's bring someone else into this. Galatians 6, 9 and 10. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we'll reap if we don't give up. So then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone. And especially those who are of the household of faith. We're going to pray right now. Let's stand together. Let's stand together and just respond. And just for the next 2 minutes, let's respond to this. I love this verse. It says, let's do good to everybody, but especially to the household of faith. Especially. I think this year is a year to do good to everybody, but especially the household of faith. Especially saying, guys, if you're going to build anything that anybody wants to be part of, I think you need to especially be good to one another. So that you got something that the world doesn't have, that you're expressing love in a way that the world doesn't express it, so that when people come in amongst you, they say, gosh, well, there is an incredible love. These guys love each other so much, especially well. Come on, close your eyes. Why don't you just raise your hands? So sometimes it's what we do just as it's an act of prayer and worship and surrender and the band can be up. There's some band. This is good. And why don't you just begin to thank God. Just thank God for Jesus Christ right now. That Jesus took rejection. He took rejection. He took it for you, so that you could find acceptance. Just speak to him for a moment. Have 30 seconds of your own thankfulness to God. Jesus, we thank you so much. We thank you, God, for your love. We thank you, God, that you accept us, Lord. We thank you, God. I just want to pray for a couple of groups of people. And just while your eyes are closed, and maybe you're here today and you've got fear, real fear of letting people in. Because you're thinking, what would people think of me? Or maybe you've been rejected before. So let's pray for these people, right? Fear of letting people in. Also, you may have been let down in relationships. That might be in church. That might be just in the wider areas of your life. You feel like, gosh, I have. And you know, yeah, okay, that affects how I think and feel and approach things. So, and I'd love just to pray for you. I'm not going to get you out. I'm just going to pray from here. But I'd love to pray for you if you're thinking, yeah, Dave, you know what, in my life there's a fear of letting people in. There's actually a fear of building relationships or you're saying, yeah, Dave, I know that I've been let down and it's kind of hurt me. And I sometimes think I'm over it, but maybe I'm not over it and it affects me. If you'd like me to pray, just to pray while we're all stood here with our eyes closed, why don't you just lift a hand so I can see it? Thank you. Yeah, some hands going up. 4 or 5. Is there anybody else just saying, yeah, Dave, just include me in that? I don't want stuff to hold me back. And Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for these people, Lord God, responding right now. Father God, for everyone who's fearful of letting people in, of opening up the doors of their life for whatever reason, feeling like, well, they'll just not get me, or they'll misunderstand me, or they won't like me. Or Father, I pray that your heart for them would just impact their life right now. Father, thank you that you say they're precious. They're of great worth. They are loved unconditionally. You took rejection so that they could find acceptance. Father God, will you work deeply in the heart? Father, and also everybody, Lord God, who's been let down in some way, and no, God, this is impacting me. It affects me. Or maybe in some ways, you know, we carry stuff through life. But Father God, I pray right now that all the negative, Father, negative impacts, Lord God, of let down, how that colors our thinking and our emotions. Father God, by your Spirit, I pray right now, God, that you just touch every one of these hearts deeply. As only you can, your healing and your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Jesus. And now let's all lift our hands right now. Father God, I pray for this awesome congregation of people. Father God, I pray that in these next weeks and days and months, Father God, that you would build upon what there already is, an incredible family. Father, an incredible house of faith, a household of people, a household of love. Lord God, I pray that, Father, in this next season of Connects, we would have just new friendships forming. Father God, new homes opening up, Lord God. Father God, new people coming in amongst our lives and our homes and finding, gosh, I can find freedom and acceptance and life and love. And God, may we all be able to say, how lovely, God, is your dwelling place. How lovely is your dwelling place. Come on, just give God some praise and some thanks, some worship. I'm going to do one last thing before we finish while you're all stood there. I don't know if you know Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you say, I don't actually know him. I don't know him. But before we finish, I've just got to give you an opportunity to make a connection and say, I want to know Jesus. I want to know Jesus. Maybe you've known him and you've walked away and you said, I need to come back into some kind of real relationship with him. Well, I'd love to pray for you. Let's do it this way around. A bit unusual. I'll just do it this way around, right? Normally I pray a prayer and I say, who prayed that prayer for the first time? I'm just going to ask right now, before I pray a prayer, because may as well not pray a prayer if we're all like in already, right? If you're here today and you are saying, you know what? I don't know Jesus, but I would like to. I don't know freedom, but I'd like to. If Jesus can bring it, I'd like that. Or you've walked away from God and you're saying, I want to come back. If that's you, just let me see right now. Just lift your hand if that's you. Because I'm believing in the days ahead that we're going to see an incredible amount of people coming to know Jesus Christ. And I think a big part of it depends on what we build with our lives together. Father God, I pray, Father, you build a house out of our lives that will just fill up, God, with people coming to know you. The unchurched loving this place, loving our being around our lives so much they come back and bring people with them, make decisions, get baptized, become part of the family, and build an incredible future in the city together. In Jesus' name. Let's give God one final massive round of applause. Let's give him some praise.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'd love to hear how God is working in your life through this ministry. If you've got a story to share, email us at mybestlife@hopecitychurch.tv. And why not join us this weekend for one of our weekend services? For details of a service near you or for more information about Hope City Church, visit us online at hopecitychurch.tv. See you next time.